And this is NHPR News.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Does beauty matter? It's a question that's been debated for millennia. The ancient Greek philosopher Aristotle thought it did when he suggested that personal beauty is a greater recommendation than any letter of reference, while Plato said that the three wishes of every man, to be healthy, to be rich by honest means, and to be beautiful. Even in modern times, the Irish writer Oscar Wilde said, it's better to be beautiful than to be good, but it's better to be good than to be ugly. But not all have agreed with them. The English art critic John Ruskin reminded us that the most beautiful things in the world are the most useless. Peacocks and lilies, for instance. While public radio's own Garrison Keillor once quipped about beauty that you don't want a $50 haircut on a 50-cent head. We may say that beauty isn't everything, that it's only skin deep and in the eye of the beholder, but if you combed your hair, matched your clothes, or put on makeup today, you were most likely concerned about your own beauty. Science has shown that certain biological features of both men and women create a physical reaction by others. For example, babies will stare longer at people who are considered beautiful. But how does that apply to a blind person? How do we define beauty in the first place? And if it matters, then matters to what? These are the questions we're exploring today on the Socrates Exchange. Does beauty matter? Our number is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. The Socrates Exchange is funded in part by the New Hampshire Humanities Council. Our philosopher this month is Jennifer Armstrong. She's a senior lecturer in philosophy at UNH. And Jen, welcome. Nice to have you.
Thank you, Laura.
Well, before we go to our callers, what are some of the central philosophical questions that come up, Jen, as we look at this question, does beauty matter?
Well, you mentioned a number of the really important philosophical moves. Philosophers have been asking questions about the nature and the importance of beauty for as long as there's been philosophy. Plato, as you mentioned, was very interested in it. He thought beauty was an abstract spiritual thing, and the physical world could lead you to beauty, but could also deceive you and lead you away. Medievals thought that really what we're after was some kind of a mathematical truth. That, for instance, Galen thought you could figure out exactly what the beautiful face was by measuring it. Nietzsche divided beauty into the sort of raw physical kind of beauty that's almost intoxicating. It seems like an assault. He called this the kind of beauty that we mark with words like stunning or drop dead or ravishing or a knockout, and said that's the less noble kind of beauty. More important is the one we mark with words like sublime or dreamy. But these kinds of things, these questions, these differences of opinion lead us asking, is there such a thing as objective beauty, or is it matter of opinion, or is it the case that we need to search deeper and find some underlying mathematical truths? Does attention to beauty make us shallow? Freud thought that it was a kind of neurosis. Is beauty somehow dangerous? If people have standards of beauty that they are brought to follow, does it allow us to cause them to buy more things or allow us to manipulate them so that they feel less secure about themselves? But these kinds of questions have been around as long as there's been philosophy, and we're still asking them.
Well, and we're asking them this hour, does beauty matter? Our number on the Socrates Exchange, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-6477. To NHPR. And I just want to remind you as you call in that this is a different kind of conversation from our regular exchange program. Jennifer's role is not to answer the question, does beauty matter? It's to explore it with you through the Socratic method of asking more questions. So when you call, stay on the line with us for a while and we'll have a dialogue about it. The number 1-800-892-6477. The question this month on the Socrates Exchange, does beauty matter? Jennifer, let's go to the phones, and Mark is up from Concord. Hi, Mark. Thanks for calling in. You're on the air. All right, that was Mark from Concord. Maybe he got cut off there. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Some of us seek out beauty in great works of art, and so Exchange Executive Producer Keith Shield explored these concepts through the Currier Museum of Art in Manchester.
My name is Kurt Sundstrom, and I'm the associate curator at the Courier Museum of Art. Throughout the history of art, all civilizations have in some way explored the concepts of beauty, and many have tried to figure out the most beautiful things through mathematical proportions, just like what we're scientists are figuring out today, that the proportion of the nose to the mouth to the head to the eyes to the ears all in some way reflects some sort of innate sense of what beauty is. The Egyptians had a proportional system of dividing up the body in certain sections. The Greeks thought the best artist could sort of pick out the best hand in a crowd and then connect it to the best arm and then the best leg and then the best foot and the best eyes. So they could take the best from what nature provided and then put them together proportionally to create what surpassed nature in many ways. And it really is determined by each culture. I mean, each culture sort of sets the standards of their beauty. We're not going to find all art objects beautiful. And some things on a very personal level will attract us to something. I've spoken to people who have gone in front of a painting and wept because it was so beautiful, but also they realized that the beauty that they saw reflected or brought up some sort of personal experience they had, whether it was the death of a family member or the birth of a child. So I think our own human experience will inform what we as individuals see as beauty. And it's hard to determine. Sometimes your visceral reaction, your visual response, you can't figure it out, but it's just beautiful on a subliminal level. And I think great art has that ability to really move us in ways that are sublime. If you look at the Mona Lisa, she's not a particularly beautiful woman. And Leonardo said this. He said what he's trying to do is capture the movement of an individual's soul. So he's not necessarily painting the person. He's trying to paint who the person is. And he captured her soul beautifully in that sort of smile. And it's enigmatic. No one can explain it. Every generation has been attracted to it. And it's drawn everyone in, just that smile alone, just the beauty. And people will spend hours in front of the thing, mesmerized. I think there is an innate response to beautiful things. I mean, we have the gag reflex. Even little children will have a gag reflex to ugly things or to dangerous things. You feel it when you see it, but you can't always explain it. And that is something because it works on a much deeper level that words cannot express. And great art is that way. And trying to explain the Mona Lisa, trying to explain Michelangelo, trying to explain Bernini or any of these guys, it's impossible because they are so good. They transcend words, and that's what great art and great beauty is. There's a great quote by Ruskin about art is the only truthful historic record we have. I think it's the artist's job to capture our culture and have the art objects be a mirror of our society and our culture. And beauty is an absolute part of every culture historically throughout time. So beauty does matter because beauty is part of our historic record about our legacy. And it's the artist's job to most successfully capture that. And for generations to come, people will be studying our history through our art.
That conversation with Kurt Sundstrom at the Courier Museum of Art was produced by Exchange executive producer Keith Shields. To see several paintings at the Courier, go to the Socrates Exchange page at nhpr.org and join us now on our question, does beauty matter? That's the question we're examining today on the Socrates Exchange. What do you think? 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Our philosopher is Jennifer Armstrong, senior lecturer in philosophy at UNH. And Jen, let's go to our callers now. Alex joins us first. Hi, Alex. Go ahead.
Hi, I have a question. I'm calling from the pledge room. If whether or not beauty matters, do you think we'd still have to dress up nice? I'm in the job market. Do you think we'd still have to dress up nice if we went to an interview and there was a wall between you and the interviewer?
And Alex, I love that you're calling from the pledge room, by the way, and HPR is in its spring membership drive. Go ahead, Jen, what do you think? And Alex, stay on the line with us, please.
Alex, that's a great question, especially since you're behind a wall for me. Do you think that the reason that we dress up nice is to impress just with physical beauty?
I think that's part of it. I also think there it shows you're prepared. helps me feel more confident as well.
Why do you think looking a certain way makes us feel more confident?
I think that looking a certain way makes us feel more confident because we have been told that that is what successful people and confident people look like.
So do you think that if we had been told that everybody should go to interviews in a bathing suit, that would be what makes us feel confident?
That would be interesting if an interesting experiment.
Alex, what do you think about the main question, does beauty matter? I love your thoughts there.
I think we would all love to say beauty doesn't matter as far as people are concerned, but to be realistic, if I showed up to an interview, the way I'm dressed now, I probably wouldn't get the job. I also think that beauty also matters. In talking about art, I don't pick things to decorate my apartment that I think are ugly.
Do you think it would be better, Alex, if beauty didn't matter?
I don't know. That's a good question. My thought would be, would we feel as prepared if we didn't dress up nice to go to work or to interview? Would that ritual, I think, helps prepare people?
I think you're right about that. Now, do you think it would be better, though, if we taught, say, our children, not you have to dress a certain way because beauty matters, but whatever way that you're dressing is what makes you beautiful, so you can be confident in that?
I think that would be better. I think that it would be better to make them feel confident in themselves rather than, you know, going out and buying an expensive suit or clothes that you're not comfortable in.
Well, Alex, thanks for joining us. Not only is he coming in to answer the pledge phones, but contributing on the Socrates Exchange. Thanks, Alex.
Thank you.
Our phone number for you to join us on the Socrates Exchange is 1-800-892-6477. What do you think of this question? Does beauty matter? When is it okay if beauty matters, and when isn't it okay? Can someone or something be too beautiful? We like to say beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Why then are the same people, the same paintings, the same music often referred to as beautiful? We'd love your thoughts. It's the Socrates Exchange. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. And Jen, I'd love to go into the break by reading one of the postings on our website. This is from someone who called himself Beauty King. He said, I'd like for everyone to be less concerned about being beautiful. I would like for human beauty to be valued less. And while I say that, I want to be more beautiful. I bought moisturizer with SPF that will reinforce the natural structure of the skin. And if I buy other products in this line, then I'll have armed myself with a, quote, deep wrinkle treatment. He asks, is it my wrinkles or my head that needs treatment? We'll go into the break and we'll be right back.
The typical format with the Exchange is that you get to ask the guests questions. Whether they're presidential candidates, state commissioners, local artists, or writers, they answer to you.
I'd like to ask the panelists to expand a little bit about the cost of health care.
One of my biggest questions is there any exit strategy
what's the status of the bureaucratic dysfunction between the...
But a couple of shows recently have turned that formula on its head. Using the Socratic method of inquiry, Laura and her guests asked you questions.
Can you say a little bit about when you read biblical verse, how does that count as proof for a universal truth to you? I mean,
But do you think our masculine or feminine qualities are something we're born with, or are those things that are enculturated?
This method allows us to dig deep into an issue that affects us all, like should gender matter, or are there universal truths? It's just another way in which we try to challenge you, make you think. Now we're challenging you to support this type of program with a contribution. Here's all you need to do.
Call 1-888-805-6477 or go online to nhpr.org. Whether or not beauty matters, your contribution to this public radio station certainly does, and it makes a big, big difference in what you hear come out of your speakers every day. Hi, I'm Rick Gamley alongside John Greenberg, and we're encouraging you to join us during NHPR's Spring Fund Drive. We've got a $20,000 goal on the big whiteboard here today, and we've already passed that halfway mark this morning. I'm happy to say, John, we've got just $9,800 to go.
We are past the halfway mark. That means we've raised $10,200. $200, and it's 9:21 in the morning. A great day here at New Hampshire Public Radio. Please add your pledge on top. And if you're just wondering what would make public radio different, well, your participation would make it different. Just as in hearing this program right now, which you're not going to hear on any other radio station, the Socrates Exchange, we push the questions back to you and we dig into such a question as, does beauty matter? With UNH philosophy professor Jennifer Armstrong helping us dig into our own thoughts and parse our own thinking about this. Where else is it going to happen? Just on public radio. Why is it possible? Because of your participation. It's as simple as that. Please be part of a very rich conversation and enrich it with your pledge of support right now. 1-888-805-6477.
Think about your phone bills at home. I'm sure you have a cell phone. Yeah, maybe you have a phone on the kitchen wall. Maybe you've got your broadband line. Maybe other members of the family, of course, have their cell phones. So you add up those phone bills, and you know what that costs every month. We've got a lot of telephones here at NHPR as well. We've got correspondents all over the state. We've got, of course, our office phones. We've got phones to answer in the studio. We've got our data lines that keep us connected with our servers and also the lines that connect all the transmitters to the radio station across the state. All told, it averages about $8,000 a month to keep our phones going here at NHPR. That's just one of the monthly expenses we have in bringing you this statewide service. So we're asking you to support, not all of that, of course, but do your part just a little bit right now. 1-888-805-6477. We'll pick up the tab when you call that number. 1-888-805-6477 and help us get to our $20,000 goal today.
Let us hear from you right now. You don't have to worry about an $8,000 a month bill. How about $12.50? $12.50 is a great pledge to make on a monthly basis to New Hampshire Public Radio. Please make that pledge of support right now. And remember, everyone who contributes today will be entered into a drawing to win an iPad 2. This is the brand new Apple device. It is their tablet computer, and you could be the winner of it if you call in and pledge at 1-888-805-6477 or go online to nhpr.org. And thanks.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and support also comes to us from Grupponi Auto Group. Featuring multiple lines of fuel-efficient, environmentally friendly cars at Grupponi Auto Junction in Bow and online 24 hours a day at grupponi.com. And from Higgins Wood Floors, restoring wood floors for over 30 years, dust-free sanding and environmentally friendly floor finishes. Online at HigginsWoodFloors.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today it's our Socrates Exchange, where once a month we examine one question using the Socratic method of asking more questions. This month that question is, does beauty matter? Jennifer Armstrong is here. She's a senior lecturer in philosophy at UNH. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. Jen, let's go right back to our callers. Sarah's waiting in Plymouth. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for hanging on. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Sure. I just wanted to contribute the fact that we live in a society, in a country that focuses so much on the physical beauty and physical appearance in general. You know, being a young woman, I'm bombarded with images on popular media and magazines that are telling me to look a certain way, eat certain things, do certain things. I guess my question is, as a society, when are we going to learn to focus less on what is quote-unquote beautiful and stop thrusting images at our youth?
Well, stay on the line with us, Sarah. Go ahead, Jen.
That's a great question, Sarah. Do you think that means that we shouldn't be talking about beauty, or we just shouldn't be talking or stressing physical beauty?
Well, I think it's the stereotypical, the negative stereotype, so kind of what our country associates with beauty. So, you know, I turn on the television and, you know, I see these, you know, tan, blonde, or just pretty much every television program has what they think is the stereotype of female beauty or male beauty, you know, the muscular, macho stereotype.
And do you think that's changing at all? I mean, when we look at, say, runways, it used to be that we saw a lot of tall, thin blondes. But now if you look at a runway, you see a very sort of multicultural, multi-ethnic look.
That is a good point, especially Jersey Shore pops up into mind. And, you know, I guess that's kind of a good thing that the minority, maybe the Italian minority, is getting the popularity in the media. But it's still negative images, you know. We just need to stress that people are who they are. And, you know, you look a certain way, and that's beautiful no matter what.
So getting people to appreciate themselves?
Absolutely, for whatever they look like and whoever they are. You know, just recently that there has started to be a little bit more media with overweight people or your quote-unquote plus-size model or an average body type. That is good.
Do you think, Sarah, do you think there should be boundaries, though? I mean, some things that we do with our bodies and some ways we present our bodies are not healthy. Is there can we guide people in a positive direction without guiding them in just a very small, narrow direction, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. There's always hope for improvement. I just, unfortunately, I don't really see that happening because we live in a country that's so focused on making money and looking a certain way. So, you know, sex sells. And until sex doesn't sell, I don't really think this problem is going to get solved.
Well, Sarah, here's a question for you. We seek out beauty in art, and we say that's great, and we talk about how beautiful
Absolutely.
A painting is. You know, we say that we need beauty when we talk about the beauty of nature, a beautiful landscape, mm-hmm. or a beautiful sculpture. So why isn't it okay to seek out physical beauty for people?
What's that?
Why isn't it okay to seek and admire beauty when it comes to human beings? It's okay in art. It's okay in nature. Why not for people?
Well, I think it is okay. I just I think that you can only find that appreciation in certain cultures and in certain kind of pockets of the population. So, for example, a more liberal, artsy population is going to appreciate beauty a certain way, a different way. It is out there. I just don't think that's what is accepted by the majority.
Okay, Sarah. Well, thanks for being on the Socrates Exchange with
Thank
us.
You,
we
Sarah.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Good luck with today.
Bye-bye. Our number 1-800-892-6477. The question this hour on the Socrates Exchange, does beauty matter? To Ralph in Lebanon next. And Ralph, what do you think of the question? Does beauty matter?
Beauty absolutely matters. Our society is geared towards beauty. I have two young daughters, which I hope that if they don't grow up to be beautiful, they at least grow up to be good looking, because that means their lives will be easier.
Well, thank you, Ralph. But now suppose, I'm sure your daughters are beautiful, but suppose your daughters don't grow up to be beautiful. I mean, should we be fighting a society that gives, you know, better benefits, people get hired more easily if they have a certain look. They make more money if they have a certain look. Should we be fighting that rather than just hoping that we fit the mold?
Yes, we probably should. But that's a big fight. And as much as we do, the changes will be incremental. So we do have to adapt to what we have to a certain extent. And yes, you're right. We do have to work towards hopefully not putting as much as we do on it. We're not going to get there for a while. That's not just going to happen overnight.
So what are you telling your daughters? Are you telling them that they need to look like the things that they see in the media, or are you telling them something else?
Well, they're not more than 5 years old, so I'm not telling them anything yet.
What do you think then, Ralph? Beauty matters. You might as well accept it and go with the flow? Is that what you're saying, or what are you really saying here?
It's just one of the things that I happen to, you know, you do have to accept it to a certain extent. It is what society is now. And like I said, changes will be incremental at best.
What do you think about your own beauty, Ralph? I mean, we don't usually say beauty with men, but, you know, how much care and attention do you take for your own beautiful appearance?
I don't take very much, but I don't work in a professional. I work in the trades, so beauty doesn't really matter as much to me. My wife, however, is a professional, and she looks after her own beauty for professional matters.
And so when your daughters get to be, oh, say, teenagers, and there are these standards out there that you see of, you know, making that make beauty important for them, and they say, gee, daddy, I really would like to get some plastic surgery so that I'm especially beautiful, what would you say?
I think I would draw the line there. Yeah, you go with what you got. And
yet we use all kinds of products to make our faces look different and clothes that make our bodies look different. Is that not going with what you've got?
I guess to a certain extent. And I guess also beauty has a great deal to do with your own self-confidence, whether you think you look beautiful or you need those products.
So we teach our you teach your daughters you're beautiful without them,
absolutely,
even knowing that out in society there are these standards.
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, Ralph, good luck with your daughters, and thanks for joining
thanks,
us.
Thanks, Ralph.
Thank you.
Our number on the Socrates Exchange, 1-800-892-6477. To Russell in Sanborn next. Hi, Russell, you're on the Socrates Exchange. Let's get your take on the question. Does beauty matter?
Hi, Laura. Well, I think beauty matters, but I look at beauty in a little different way than maybe the broad sense of your question today. And I like Ralph's approach with his daughters. I think my approach with my boys is, you know, my oldest boy went through that phase where his pants hung halfway down his butt. And my approach to that was, how do you want people to see you? Because I think beauty in both artwork as well as ourselves is an expression of who we are. That's what artwork is, you know, in a painting or even a poem. It's an expression of somebody's emotion or, you know, their message that they're trying to get across or they're just trying to express. And
so Russell, are you saying that beauty matters or that it doesn't, or that beauty is not a physical thing for you?
I think beauty, when you say beauty matters, you know, I'm thinking, does it matter to me that when I see somebody maybe dressed in you know, two flannel shirts and striped pants or something like that, it matters to me that that's an expression of that person. So when you, you know, I think your question is, you know, if I go to a job interview and I have a red tie on instead of a white tie, does that matter? I'm looking at it more from the perspective it matters that it's an expression of a person, and that person has, you know, the courage to wear what they want to wear.
So is every expression equally good?
Oh, I certainly think so.
All right, so the pants down the butt, that would be just as good if it's an expression of who your son is as would be pants that were up at the waist.
Good. To the extent that it tells me a little bit about that person, and I know who that person is, and if that's, you know, if I'm interviewing for somebody who's, you know, in sales of flooring, let's say, the industry I'm in, I'm not going to hire that person, but it matters from the perspective that tells me who that person is. It's an expression of who they are.
It tells you that person conforms or not to the standards that are there in this case in the business world? I mean, is that what we're looking for? We want to find out if people fit?
I want to know who a person is. You know, I guess that's the thing. And you know, with my boys, they're 15 and 18, almost 19. I don't say, hey, be like this. I say, hey, this is how you look. This is how you're acting. And this is how I'm reading that. Is that who you want people to see you as?
All right, Russell. Well, good luck with those boys. And thanks for joining
us
in the Socrates Exchange.
Well, thank you.
Our number is 1-800-892-6477. The question, does beauty matter? Let's go to Skip in Lee. Welcome, Skip. What's your opinion? Does beauty matter?
Hi. Oh, yes, it definitely matters. And it matters for a number of reasons. And since we've been talking about personal beauty and beauty of people, I'll continue on that path. And the reason it matters is because for millions of years, we have been evolving and looking for, I'll say, the better mate or the better tribe or whatever. And as genetic markers, your first view is, how does someone look? Do they have good genes based on how they look, or do they have problems? Do they have disease? Whatever. And so your first view of a person is, are they genetically good? So if you're going to an interview or a date or whatever, subconsciously people are saying, is this person genetically good?
Well, now, that's really interesting, Skip. But is that a good thing in today's society when we don't have a population dearth? We have more people than we know what to do with. And some of the things that make people best fit in today's society aren't the kinds of genetic markers, like, oh, for example, size in a man might not be as important as it was in ancient Mesopotamia. Now it might be, can he do math?
Can he fix my computer?
Can he fix my computer? Exactly.
Well, then you are correct. So if you were in an engineering environment, that beauty is slightly different than in a modeling environment. For example, if you look like Einstein, you're considered beautiful if you're an engineer or a scientist. But if you look like Einstein and you were walking down the runway, no way.
But Einsteinian beauty isn't the kind of thing that we notice subconsciously as beauty, though, is it?
Then you haven't been around a bunch of engineers. if you're around a bunch of engineers, the engineers all strive to look like Einstein so that they wear messy clothes, they don't care about their hair. They'll wear sandals and shorts.
Yes, but are they attracted to people who look like that? I mean, that would be the evolutionary take, right? Or is it the case that they're out looking for that model on the runway, not another scientist?
Well, I think they are more attracted to that because you don't care about the model on the runway. I mean, it's my experience that you're not looking for the model on the runway. You're looking for the person that you can interact with.
Well, Skip, I love the presentation of the sort of shaggy, scruffy engineer. But to this question, you know, is that beautiful or is that just trying to fit a role there?
So I guess it depends on how we're going to define beauty. If we define beauty as someone, when you're looking at a person, you are relating to that person as they meet my goals and expectations, then, yeah, the scruffy engineer is the guy who's going to meet your goals and expectations.
And be beautiful?
And if we define beauty as that, then, yes, they are beautiful.
And do you define beauty as that? Is beauty what meets our individual goals and expectations?
Me, personally, I define it as, yes, if I'm looking for a contractor who is, quote, beautiful, I am looking for someone who's going to be strong and can do the job and looks like that they've spent a lot of time outside.
All
so
right.
They have hands and stuff.
That's
if I'm
great,
looking
Skip.
For a doctor, I'm looking for someone in scrubs who looks smart, probably doesn't look like he spent all his time on the golf course.
All right, Skip, I'm going to let you go, but thank you so much for being with us on the Socrates Exchange.
Thank you.
All right, and more of your calls on this question, does beauty matter? After a short break, stay with us.
Another show that I really have started to enjoy is the Socrates Exchange. I like the format of discussion where you question and then question the question or the response and continue the questions so that you're constantly thinking and rethinking. I just think that is just quite remarkable that the programming is so spectacular. I'm Kathy Boyer, and I live in Wilton, New Hampshire.
Thank you, Kathy, for those words. And we do hope that the Socrates Exchange and everything we do makes you think and rethink. Good morning. I'm John Greenberg. I'm here with Rick Ganley. Welcome to NHPR Spring Fun Drive. And this has been a great morning here during the Spring Fun Drive. Tuesday has been great. Our goal to stay on track today is $20,000. So far, we have raised $13,000. $13,000. $13,000. Thank you all for those pledges. Add your pledge on top and help make this a truly stellar day by calling 1-888-805-6477.
We're going to take that $13,000 and we're going to put it right to work for you, and you're going to hear it come out of your radio in the coming weeks and months with local programming like the Socrates Exchange. We're very proud to produce that program right here in the Granite State, right here in our studios, and that's what we know you tune into the Exchange for, a great local community. And that's what the Exchange is about. It's a community of listeners. That's what New Hampshire Public Radio listeners are. It's a community that's connected throughout the state. When you talk to people at work about something you heard on the radio, it goes without saying that it was New Hampshire Public Radio. When a friend calls you, you can mention an interview you heard, whether it was on the Exchange, whether it was on one of the NPR programs you hear on a daily basis as well. And you know that people who listen to public radio have many things in common with you. You're a listener. You're part of that community. And as part of that community, you can make your contribution right now during the Spring Fund Drive. 1-888-805-6477. We all do our part in this community. 1-888-805-6477.
You know, Rick, I heard about a guy who met his wife at a party. He was talking to someone and he heard behind him a woman say, "I was listening to public radio." And he turned around saying, "Oh, there's someone here who listens to public radio." And lo and behold, 3 years later, they're married. So there you go. That's a community of
listeners. We're bringing people together, John.
We absolutely. And getting them to breed new public radio listeners, one hopes. Well, you know, we do use the phrase listeners like you a lot around here. And it is a moment in these, you know, twice a year we have these moments of our fun drives where we say, please do something very special. A listener like you can become an active listener by supporting this public radio service. When you join in with other listeners like you, you help create a really strong, vibrant public radio service here in the Granite State. Let us hear from you right now. Make a pledge online if you like, nhpr.org. Give us a call, 1-888-805-6477. Just remind us that we can count on listeners like you.
The Exchange, you know, wakes you up, keeps you sharp, just like your morning cup of coffee. And this year, in celebration of the Exchange's 15th anniversary, we're offering a special Exchange coffee bean. Well, thank you for your $75 donation with a one-pound bag of Grounds for Debate, fair trade beans harvested especially for the Exchange. That's thanks to Terra Nova Coffee in Gilsum, New Hampshire. It could be yours with a $75 donation. So call now, get in on it, get the coffee. That'll wake you up just like the conversation. 1-888-805-6477.
Let's hear from you. 1-888-805-6477. Get into that drawing to win an iPad 2. That's going on all day today. You can pledge online at nhpr.org. And thanks.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and support also comes to us from Eastern Propane and Oil, delivering propane, a green, efficient energy source. Information on propane usage and how to reduce your impact on the environment at askeastern.com. And from Lewis Carno and Company Communications, serving organizations and entrepreneurs with strategic communication planning, public relations, and media relations, lcarno.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow on The Exchange, a look at Kate Zernike's book, Boiling Mad, Inside Tea Party America. Email us your questions before the program at nhpr.org and join us tomorrow morning live at 9. Today, it's the Socrates Exchange, and this time we're pondering the question, does beauty matter? Call in 1-800-892-6477. And when you call in, we want your thoughts on this question. Again, does beauty matter? Jennifer Armstrong is with me, senior lecturer in philosophy at UNH. And Jennifer, let's go to Mike in Franklin. Hi, Mike. Thanks for hanging on. What do you think of this question?
Hey, good morning. Good question. Good show this morning. In regards to does beauty matter, I think in our society here in the States, it does. And I, as you drill down on this question with each caller and the conversations get deeper, I find as though it's going to inevitably get to the question of, does beauty matter in certain cultures, in certain societies around the globe? But unfortunately, I think that beauty does matter within the states here that we live.
Good point, Mike. Now, if we're talking about certain cultures, I mean, do we start saying that beauty standards are completely relative depending on where we are?
I would agree with that, Jennifer. Yeah. I mean, if we take, you know, let's just go to the Outback and go to the Aborigines, right? And you take someone who's an Aborigine and you place them against someone from, you know, a metrosexual from New York City, let's say, you know, always.
Well, there's certainly going to be, like, variations, but there's an awful lot of really interesting research that suggests things like babies respond very similarly across cultures in different contexts, and when they're shown beautiful faces, even before they have language or are enculturated, they respond much more positively. And we have all kinds of evidence that, you know, worldwide people go for things like clear skin that shows health and youth rather than age. That sounds to me more like a universal standard than a cultural one. What do you think?
I think that if you're going to bring up a baby in a stimulus with a baby, it's completely relevant to the context of the symmetry of the object or the stimulus or the shape of that object or image. That would flow in the eyes of a baby and make it look a little bit smoother or just a lot more coherent. So if you take someone who, you know, if you take a child maybe with a cleft chin and held that up with a not a cleft chin, but a cleft palate, and held that up against a picture of a child who doesn't, maybe you'd be able to see more of a variation there with a baby stimulating.
Well, that sounds more like, though you're saying, yeah, babies are on to things like symmetry and clarity, and that's beauty underneath all of the cultural differences. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying image. I guess you're getting back to right now. I think mostly right away it's just image. You know, the first thing you see, the first stimulus that you see is just an image. We're so absorbed in this society, in this country, with what your image is and images of everything, all the way from status symbols to how you smell, how you wear your hair, what you're wearing, that once you get beyond that layer of what we categorize as beauty and more in-depth to inner beauty, I think that is the part that matters the most. That inner beauty goes the distance over time.
Mike, when you say inner beauty, are you talking about what we are attracted to that maybe isn't beauty? A difference between something being beautiful and something being something we value or appreciate?
I go back to the definition of beauty where I started the call, is that I think right away what we define beauty on the surface, it is just that one that's image-based. But as you get to know a certain individual, the definition of the beauty gets redefined and has more substance to it, has more composition to it, and has more meaning to it after you get beyond the initial image. I can't help but think of the book Blink from Malcolm Gladwell, where we are just wired as individuals and human beings to quickly make up our mind whenever we meet someone. And most of that decision is based on the image and persona that is portrayed by that individual.
Mike, thanks a lot for joining us on the Socrates Exchange. Great thoughts.
See ya.
Bye-bye. And Jen, let's take one more if we could. Will is calling in from Nashua. Will, what do you think of the question? Does beauty matter?
It's an interesting idea. And the last caller, I think, sort of had it. There's so much is based on superficial beauty nowadays. You look at all the advertising, all the marketing, the idea that a woman has to look like a certain sort of image, and the same with a man. That there is beauty. It depends how you define beauty. Beauty is, you know, can be defined not just by the look of something, but really how a person behaves or what they're thinking, and that is something that you don't get immediately.
Well, do you define beauty as that underlying thing? I mean, do you think that's real beauty? And the superficial is not?
It can be, but the problem is nowadays, I think that we're sort of, you know, generally, the way that, you know, you look at any marketing study, and you find that, you know, women have to look a certain way. Kids follow, it's a thing called fashion, and if it's not a fashionable thing to do, then they steer away from it. And, of course, the marketing people get into this. And you know, unfortunately, it's a sort of the, what is defined as beauty can be so superficial. Certainly the sort of things that you see.
Do you think that's new, Will? I mean, it sounds like you think that's a creation of advertising and marketing. But I think of, you know, cosmetics in the ancient Egyptians, and, you know, Gilgamesh became king in Mesopotamia just because he was the tallest man around. Do you think it's new?
Well, I'm not saying that it's new. I mean, certainly the cosmetics, the Egyptian thing, it's my understanding that a lot of the stuff that they did were practical. The idea of the sort of eyeshadow was to sort of reduce a glare, much in the same way
as a football player.
So, you know, some of it has a practical use. But the thing is, marketing nowadays, you look at Madison Avenue, the all of the stuff that comes out from there, it's really sort of, there's an image that one has to conform with in order to be thought of as being beautiful. And some of it is so shallow, it's so superficial, that it's really, you know, it's not necessarily what I would call beauty. I think that beauty is much, much deeper than that.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. And Jen, let's move on to New Durham, where Patricia's waiting. Hi, Patricia, you're on the Socrates Exchange. Your thoughts on the question, does beauty matter?
Well, thank you. And beauty does not matter. From a personal experience, I do not believe that it is important. Now, I grew up in a family where there were four children, and I was actually the one that was not the sharpest, and, you know, as far as studies and everything. So my folks just said, you know, well, she's pretty, she's beautiful, so let's go with the beauty. And they did. And, you know, they really pushed that, and, you know, in. But as I'm an old senior citizen now, and I've found out that I have so many other things inside of me that are creativity. I mean, so many things that could have been, you know, pushed to the front.
So, and, Patricia, are you saying you think beauty gets in the way of us developing what's more important about ourselves?
In my particular case, I believe that it actually did. I mean, I'm not, you know, I've had a wonderful life, but I think if my folks would have looked a little bit more into other things that were me, you know, like the true me, and not just say, oh, she's so pretty, let's go and follow this route and put her up on this pedestal, I think they would have looked a little bit deeper inside of me and just saw the little bit more of creativity that I did have and took a little bit deeper look.
Well, I could ask you a question, if I could jump in, Patricia. When you were younger, did beauty matter more for you? That's one question. And then just recently, you say you're a senior citizen. Do you still put on makeup or try to wear decent clothes or recently get your hair styled, or are you just blowing that all out the window?
Well,
who cares?
No, it was important to me growing up because it was just, you know, I in school, academically, I was, you know, I struggled a bit. So I just went with, you know, the fancy hair, the fancy clothes. Now that confidence is into the person who I am inside through many people, I'm finding out, well, you know, that doesn't matter. You know, as long as I'm healthy and keeping myself healthy, you know, I, you know, follow my hygiene and, you know, I exercise and everything and I do creative things.
Exercise, is that for your health, Patricia, or is that because you want to stay trim? And did you comb your hair this morning?
I combed my hair this morning. Yes, I did. I combed my hair.
So beauty still matters.
I like to go out and I, you know, buy new clothes and I still have that. That's important to me, but it's not as important.
So, Patricia, do you think there's a way to balance this, say, for our children?
Yes, I do. I think that, you know, just look at the child inside. Look at the child inside, and, I mean, beauty comes from within. And, you know, and their appearance, make sure that, you know, they're clean and they, you know, dental hygiene and all of that, and make sure their health is wonderful. Express that.
Well, Patricia, in the interest of time, I have to let you go. Thank you very much for being our last caller in the Socrates Exchange.
Thank you very much. Great show.
Bye-bye. And Jennifer Armstrong, thank you for being with us today. I really appreciate it. Jennifer Armstrong, senior lecturer in philosophy at UNH. She'll continue this conversation online for the next hour, so keep your thoughts coming in. Go to the Socrates Exchange page at nhpr.org and continue the conversation. And we're going to take a short break now, check in with our spring membership drive.
Thanks, Laura, and good morning. I'm Rick Ganley alongside John Greenberg, welcoming you to NHPR Spring Fun Drive and letting you know that we are well on our way to reaching our goal today. We have a $20,000 goal on the whiteboard, and so far this morning we've raised over $14,000, up to $14,100, John. So we're doing very well towards that goal. We've got great momentum. We don't want to stop now. Let's hear from you in this Spring Fun Drive. 1-888-805-6477 is the number to call.
Well, as they would say in the Bronx, let's hear from yous right now, because right now, if we hear from you and eight other people who really like the idea that a program like the Socrates Exchange is on the air, asking some very big questions and engaging all of us to participate in that, if you really like that idea, please understand that you can help support it right now with a generous pledge. $100, $200, you decide the amount. The important thing is that you pledge right now. You can do that online at nhpr.org, or you can call toll-free 1-888-805-6477. It would be great if, before the Diane Rehm Show, we were at the $15,000 mark, and if you and eight other people who share your appreciation call, we can get there. 1-888-805-6477.
We're going to call out some of you regular Exchange listeners, the listeners that have been around for years. The Exchange has been around now for 15 years, in fact, celebrating their 15th anniversary this year. And we thank you. Those listeners who have supported that show and supported NHPR over the years, we thank you for supporting that. And we're looking for new people as well, people who maybe haven't done it before. Maybe you have been listening and maybe feeling a little guilty about that. And this is the time to get in and become a member of NHPR. So give us a call right now at 1-888-805-6477. Returning members, you renew your membership and support the Exchange and NHPR for the next year. And for you new listeners as well, this is the time to get rid of that little nagging guilt you've had. 1-888-805-6477. That's 1-888-805-6477.
It'll take just 3 minutes, less than 3 minutes, for you to make your pledge. You could, doing that online, it is safe, secure.